The reading is written in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 and is to be found on page 1217 in the Church Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, do get your Bibles open on that passage or get your phones out and look it up there. We're going to just focus on verses 6 to 9 today. And then Ailish in a couple of weeks' time is going to thoroughly deal with the other verses. She also deals with her own passage. Fantastic. That's what you can do as a vicar. Let's pray now as we begin to look at God's word. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for Peter. We thank you for that most incredible of disciples. We can relate to him so strongly, his failures, but your redemption and then his love for you. Lord, please, as we read his words, please speak your word into our hearts that we might, our hearts might be transformed, that we would see Jesus. Amen. All right, well, one of the favourite songs, if not maybe at the moment, the favourite song, my favourite song and also the favourite song of my daughter, is a song called Kiss the Wave by Wolves at the Gate. And we're going to put a link to it on the live stream, but I would listen to it with a certain amount of caution if you're not into metalcore music. But we're listening to the song. I was listening to the song and I thought, it's a really good tune and it's got this refrain, Kiss the Wave. And I thought, I don't know what that's about. So I looked it up. And it turns out it is a quotation, and this is for all my Baptist brothers and sisters out there, from Spurgeon, who once said this, I have learnt to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Explain it very briefly. What he meant by that was the wave here is a trial or a time of suffering or a hardship. And he said, his experience is that because time and again trials and sufferings have thrown him on the rock of ages, and here he means Jesus, and he has found such blessing in that, that now he has learnt to greet suffering in a different way. He's learnt to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. And we're going to find out that he is basing that on, amongst other, this passage here in 1 Peter, also passages in James and throughout Paul's writings, about how suffering brings us rejoicing by leading us to Jesus. Suffering brings us rejoicing by leading us to Jesus. And we're going to see today that this is the greatest miracle, perhaps, of the Christian life. Certainly one of the very top ones. So let's head into this. How do we find what our writer says here, Peter? In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. How do we hold rejoicing and grieving, gladness and suffering? happiness and weeping. Well, I love, first of all, the way that Peter seems to understand what trials are like. He understands that they bring grief as well as pain. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. The grief, that sense of loss, lost opportunities when we are suffering with illness or hostility or just financial difficulties. The sense of lost time. How many people have you heard say that COVID is two lost years? And the heart anguish which comes with that grief. And yet, the great miracle of the Christian life is, Peter says, we rejoice in the midst of our suffering. Not joy, not gladness, not happiness instead of grief, but joy, happiness, gladness found in the midst of grief. So how do we find that? Well, we're going to see today that the reason that we rejoice is that suffering completes faith. Let's dive in. The first thing we're going to notice in our passage is that suffering is where faith is proved. Do you remember our illustration earlier about gold, which Peter uses here? Gold which perishes even though refined by fire. Peter knows how gold works. He knows that if you take gold and you put it in the fire, it will survive. It will show that it's gold. If you're unsure about when something's gold, put it in the fire. If it burns up, it isn't gold. If it doesn't, it is gold. Gold is proven in the fire. That's why he uses that proven genuineness to talk about faith. And then Peter applies that to our experience. He says, believer, that when you go through trials, rather than destroying your faith, rather than leaving it as a heap of ashes or melted plastic and exploded batteries, it will actually be proved to be the real thing. As we endure through suffering, it tests our trust in God's promises. And in doing so, shows that our faith is real, proves that our faith is real. Why? Because miraculously, the believer keeps on trusting, even when God doesn't seem to be delivering. Even when trusting doesn't seem to work, the believer carries on trusting. This is the faith of that great character in the Bible. A book of the Bible we overlook, even though it dominates the Bible with 40 plus chapters, and that's the book of Job. This is Job's faith. We started with a glimpse of heaven, and Satan accuses God. He says, the only reason Job follows you, God, is because you bribe him with good things. He doesn't actually, his trust isn't really in you, it's that you would give him riches. And God permits Satan to allow trials to come on Job. But in the midst of it, though he shouts at heaven, though he calls out to the Lord, though he seeks answers, he continues to trust the living God. His faith was proved. It was shown to be of greater worth than gold. And that's really important because faith is vital. We saw last week that it's what connects us to the promises of, to the power of God that will deliver the promises of God. Do you remember? Faith is the connection to God's protection. So it's massively important that our faith is proved because it connects us to God's eternal protection that however hard things get, he will see us through to the end. So if you like, you see this in the believer's life. Because when hard times come, they cause the believer to run to the Lord and not away from him. Now, don't get me wrong. The believer, he or she doesn't run to the Lord and says, oh, it's all right, God, I don't mind. I quite enjoy the pain, to be honest. It's not that. The believer might run to the Lord and say, why? Why is this happening? I've served you my whole life. Why is this happening? But they run to the Lord. And then you see those who maybe were part of our church for many years, and hard times come, and they get angry with God and run away from him. Faith is proven during hard times. So faith is proved. But secondly, faith becomes glorious. Do you remember I was telling the children earlier, and in fact, hopefully all of us, and that is really important to know, those activities are not just for the children, they are for you as well. The most profound truths are often learnt simply. But do you remember we saw how gold is not only is it not destroyed by fire, but it is refined by fire. The impurities, the rubbish, anything that isn't gold gets burnt away. That's the amazing thing about gold. It's why we smelt it. It is purified by it. It becomes shinier. It becomes more glorious. It becomes more pure. And so it is with faith. Faith becomes a thing of brilliant beauty. I use that. The word is used here, glory. It results in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. That word glory is a hard word to sum up. Imagine a brightness so wonderful, so beautiful that it's almost frightening. So glorious that you want to worship in front of it. That describes God's glory. Faith connects us to that glory. And it makes us glorious through it. How does it do that? Well, because trials make us cling more tightly to God's promise. We saw earlier that we've been promised an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We saw that last week. And we saw about what an amazing hope this is, how it energizes and electrifies our vision. And we discover that trials for the believer make them cling more tightly to that promise in the future rather than give up on it. And that starts to transform things. Look at the word that Paul uses here, or Peter uses the phrase. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, in fact, Peter's under no illusions. This may go on for years. Paul says something very similar when he talks about his hardships as being light and momentary. Now, for Paul, they were not light and momentary. They included being stoned until people thought he was dead and dragged him out of the city. No, what they're saying is that these trials, though they feel heavy and long now, when you compare them to the timeline of eternity, the inheritance that is promised, they're light and momentary. They're just for a little while. That's how faith gives us resilience. It changes our timeline. We start thinking of time as 70 or 80 years, where COVID robs us of two of them, where a relationship difficulty robs us of another five, where financial hardship robs us of another three, where work difficult situations robs us of another seven, and the number of 80 goes down, 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 down. No. Our timeline is now eternal. And that 2 years is a blink of an eye for the believer. It is glorious. We start realizing that this thing, this hope, this promise is so glorious that it far outweighs our troubles. And you might be thinking, well, David, you haven't had difficulties like me. You don't know what it's like. And you know, you're probably right. But I know people who do. I know people who've been through awful things. Who have suffered injury, physical injury, for more than 20 years. Whose vision is energized by the hope of our inheritance, the hope of glory. And actually, a thing to help you in this, to capture this, is this. Try this. When you're going through a difficult time and it feels like it's going on forever or it feels heavy, to start thinking, well, what must glory be like to make this feel momentary and light, to make this feel like just a little time? And really try to imagine it. Well, it'd be great. It'd be like living in the Lake District. Waking up in the morning by the lakeside with the mist over it. but the mountains are so much richer. The air is so pure. And I know I don't need to leave to go back to Croydon. Start playing with what glory will be like. So trials make us cling more tightly to God's promised reward. But the other thing is that trials burn away what is not full of faith. In particular, trials burn away idols. Let me tell you about my experience of trials. So take this with a pinch of salt. Peter doesn't go into this. This is just my experience, so it's not God's word. But let me just take you through what I've experienced in this. Life's going all right. Everything seems fine. Then something hard hits. And do you know what I do? I don't run to Jesus. When things are going well, Jesus is like my insurance policy. I never get it out. I just renew it every year. But then when things go badly, what do? I chase after the things which will give me some illusion of immediate relief. For me, that includes watching TV or streaming, and it includes eating. And actually, I find, maybe it's for you, it's alcohol, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's being with friends, whatever it is, maybe it's whatever, a holiday. And I find myself pursuing those things more. And then Jesus becomes an encumbrance, like a distraction. And that's when I stop doing my quiet times and I stop going to church so much because I need to do these other things to get my feed. And then what happens is it gets worse. And those idols prove to be pathetic and worthless and powerless. They start becoming unpleasant to my taste. Because they don't deliver. They just leave me feeling worse. And then, I start fixing my gaze on my true hope. I start clinging to my true hope. I start using my faith. And what I start clinging to is what is eternal. And it's in this sense that faith is unlike gold. Peter doesn't say that faith is just like gold. He says, your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. Now that's a curious idea, but gold doesn't perish. It's really long lasting. What does he mean by this? Well, he means this. You might accumulate impressive mountains of gold, not literal gold, maybe your bank account. And with that gold, with that money, you will be able to do amazing things. Just imagine what you would buy if you won the lottery. What you'd be able to do, who you'd be able to help. But Peter reminds you, it will not survive the day of your death and judgment. It will not pay for anything beyond the grave. But faith connects you to the one who will. And that is Jesus. Faith will see you through. And that is why it's of greater worth than gold. And so as our hearts become fixed on God's eternal and certain promise to us, we start to become disillusioned with our idols. And the things he loves become the things we love. And our faith grows. And then we read this, that they will result in praise, glory, and honour. Your faith will result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now let's be clear here. When Jesus comes, he will be celebrated. He will be glorious. He will be treated with honour. Of course he will. But here we discover so too will the believer. Why? Because they will write a book about you. In fact, God is already writing the book about you. And about your life, about your faith, about how you endured, about how you carried on trusting when things were hard. And one day in glory, as believers, other believers will come up to us and say, David, you did an amazing job there. You went through a difficult time, but you kept trusting the Lord. Do you know, I heard that angels were rejoicing about that. And they still are. And I'll say, well, it's nothing like you. I mean, how did you keep going? Everyone was thinking you were going to give up on your faith or you were going to compromise. But you didn't. You're amazing. That's what it's going to be like in glory. But it goes even deeper than that. Because faith isn't just proved, it doesn't just become glorious, it gets personal. I think these are, for me, are the most beautiful verse in the Bible. The introduction to it is, your faith of greater worth than gold may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter here, as he's writing, he's probably thinking, how do I express this to these people? How do I express these Christians? How amazing I think they are. How I am speechless at them. But Peter's thinking, I walked with Jesus. I saw him with my eyes. I touched him. These believers, and now he's talking about you, haven't. And yet, they love him. And they believe in him. And they are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. How is that possible, Peter's saying? Only through the power of God expressed in faith. If you're a believer today and you love the Lord Jesus, God is working that miracle in your life. And the reason for that is that trials move the Christian from seeing Jesus as the way to heaven into seeing Jesus as the point of heaven. We start to realize not just that he is the way we get the inheritance, you know, like Lake District Vision or whatever. He is the inheritance we're longing for. Let me tell you a little bit about the experience of my dad dying and the problem it caused me. For some time, in fact, for most of my Christian life, which is all my life, I felt a slight uneasiness, and I'll tell you why. I wasn't that fussed about seeing Jesus when I die. I was really looking forward to heaven, but I wasn't that fussed about seeing Jesus, and I knew that was wrong. And then my dad died, and then I sort of felt guilty because I thought, is it a bad thing that I really want to see him in glory? I mean, I will, because he believed in the Lord Jesus. I don't have the tragedy of, you know, a relative who didn't believe. I know I'll see my father in glory. But I thought, is that bad that I really want to see him? Anyway, at the same time, before and afterwards, I've been through different challenges. I'm quite a weak and frightened person, so small things hit me really hard. And I found myself in those difficulties seeking Jesus more. He became more and more precious to me. Do you remember when I described the phase when I ran away from him and I ran to my idols? And then things got harder and those idols betrayed me and let me down. And then I found Jesus. I found Jesus again. And he became more precious to me than anything else. I was left with such a sense of peace and such a sense of being loved that I started to understand Spurgeon's phrase. I have learnt to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. So that now I see the trial rolling towards me, this wave of suffering and hardship. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's someone not being very nice to me. Maybe it's a stress about church life or work life or fostering or something like that. I see the wave coming to me. And I don't like what's going to happen. I know the wave will throw me off my feet and roll me round and round and sink me down into the depths. But I also know where it'll end up. I will find myself lying on the rock that is Jesus, knowing a peace and a joy I have not experienced in any other aspect of life. And so as I see the wave coming to me, I gulp, I tremble, but I know it's all right. The worst it can do is knock me onto Jesus. So anyway, one day we were singing in the evening service a song called O Perfect Love. And it talks about gates, heaven's gates being flung wide for me. And it was a lifetime. And for some reason, I had in my mind those gates flung wide for me and seeing my dad there. And I ran to him. And he said to me, "Come on, David. Come on, David. We're going to go and see Jesus." And we ran through the city to see Jesus. Yes, glory is going to be great because we're going to see those who we loved, who had faith and we lost. But we're going to see Jesus with those people. And so increasingly for the Christian, trials become the doorway to rejoicing and gladness and joy. And it will make us more glorious, more awesomely brilliant because our vision is filled with him. So in our last minute, I just want to think about, well, what do we do with this? If you're going through a trial now, run to Jesus. If you can get to that point earlier than I do, if you can let go of the idols and run to him earlier, then do it. But don't worry, when you do it, you will find him glorious. But what if you're not going through a trial right now? Well, there is a sense in which trials activate the faith we've been building when things have been easier. So let me give an example. I'd always been told that prayer was important. I believed that prayer was important. I just never did it. And then trials hit and I got really low. And prayer stopped becoming something you do, and it became my weakness crying out to his strength. Fellowship, committing to meeting with God's people weekly. Because let me tell you what will happen. When you go through difficult times, and I've seen like long-standing Christians do this, they go through difficult times and we stop seeing them in church on Sunday. And the reason they'll give is, well, I don't think church is going to help. And I'll say, no, of course you won't, because you're still running after your idols. Instead, say, no, I will keep coming. I will keep sharing fellowship with other believers here. Because then when you run to Jesus, you've got people running with you, cheering you along. Bible verses start glowing. Why do I memorize Bible verses? It's hard. It's sometimes boring. And sometimes you think, well, what's the point? It doesn't really sort of ignite in my heart. And then I go through a trial and that verse becomes precious. Build up your bank of faith now so that when trials come, your faith will shine. But the final way is seek out Christians who are glowing in trials. Seek out Christians who look more like Jesus in their trials. Not those who reject it all, but those who are shining with glory, with his glory. And that's why we support the persecuted church here at St. Patrick's. To be honest, it's for very selfish reasons. I mean, it is also because we want to bless them, but mainly because we know we are blessed by hearing their stories of enduring through trials. And we've got a really exciting event coming up on the 4th of March, a month after the quiz night. It's a theatre company who are coming to do a presentation. It's part of something called Release International. And it's called If Prison Walls Could Speak. And it's an amazing production. I missed it in Keswick, the Keswick Convention. But those who went, you know, when you think, oh, you know, a bit tired, it's holiday, I'm not going to go. And then everyone goes and they say it's amazing. Well, thankfully, one of the people who went and said it was amazing is bringing it here. It's your opportunity to hear about trials making faith glorious and building up your bank for when you go through trials. I'm going to be selling tickets alongside the quiz night afterwards. There's even contactless payments. So if you haven't got cash, you can get your ticket today. Because that's a good way of building up that faith so that when trials come, it is activated, that it glows brightly like gold, but unlike gold, will see you through to the eternal one. To Jesus. And maybe you too will sing, "I have learnt to kiss the wave that throws me against Jesus."